Hello, welcome to Values, Virtues, Ethics and Morality. Today in the studio I'm joined by Sister Denise from the Brahma Kumaris, who has been practicing Raj Yoga meditation for several decades. Sister Denise has a particular interest in the subject of what she calls conventional morality, and as you can see from the background, which is Grecian, we are going to take a Socratic method, the Socratic method of dialogue, in order to elicit universal truths from what she is saying. The point of this show and all other shows that we're doing in this series is to ask you to re-examine your conscience and to see how it's working for you. We ask you to look at your feelings, your thoughts, your attitudes, and really question whether this is something that you want for yourself as an adult, or is there something better out there, different out there, that may work for you. And Sister Denise is sharing her insight and wisdom based on her many years of meditation and spiritual experiences. So Sister Denise, I very, very warmly welcome you to today's show, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Today is a very beautiful topic because it's one of my favorite virtues. And it's not just integrity, but I'd like you to discuss with us the impact of integrity. One hears about honesty, one hears about truth, but integrity is a very rare commodity in today's world. One can literally count on the fingers of one hand people you know that have it. Why is something that's so revered and so special become so almost obsolete?
Like anything really rare, it's because it's expensive.
What do you mean by that?
If a person says, the most important thing for me in my life is I must make sure that I have integrity in every respect. And most people in the world do not have integrity because of several things. Integrity comes from integrated, integral, that all the different parts of a person are working together as one complete whole. And so that means a person is not at all divided against themselves. With conventional morality and the attitudes, the prevailing social attitudes that most people grow up, there's quite a conflict between the voice of conscience and the voice of conventional morality, which splits a person. So right there, you find yourself disintegrating. And as you go further, the split multiplies and you become more and more fragmented as a person. So then you lose yourself in that and you become false. You become unaware of who the real you is. So a person of integrity means that you gather all the different parts of yourself and you make sure that each one is lined up with and in harmony with, coherent, and it works together with all the other parts. Then you are a person of integrity.
Sister Denise, that sounds so beautiful in theory, okay? But obviously, you're not theorizing. How does one practically do what you're just saying? And I mean this in a context where, on a day-to-day basis, we're faced with dilemmas where my own conscience says I should go this way, but hold on, I've got more to gain from going this way. So how does one put what you just said into practical reality so that at the end of the day you can say, I'm a person with integrity?
You say the voice of conscience sends me this way. There's also the study of spirituality which confirms that and maybe amplifies it. And then you have the voice, there's another voice which we speak of in Brahma Kumaris, the voice of Maya. I haven't really talked about that.
No, how would you define Maya?
Maya is basically the force of evil, and it comes in two ways. One is through attraction, temptation, and the other is terror. So either it activates our desire and says, oh, you know, you could get this, you could get this, and the person says, yeah, that's right, I think I could do with that. Then you start to rationalize why this is okay, and then you become deceived by Maya. Then the other one is the terror, you know, which is, if you don't do this, we're going to expose you, we're going to beat you, we're going to do something which is going to make you have to comply out of fear, you see. So these are the weaknesses, fear and desire, in people. So if a person wishes to be a person of integrity, they really need to know where they are weak so that they can shore up those weaknesses.
You really need to know where we are weak. Why is it that we are so reluctant to come to that understanding?
Well, because it's embarrassing, because someone might know and they might think less of us. You know, people really want to look good more than be good, you know, because they'll have to face themselves, because it doesn't sit well with their ego. You know, if you have ego of your profession, your position, your, you know, you're a big person in society, and then you have this weakness, you know, it doesn't sit well. So you don't want to admit it. You don't want to see it. So it's a denial.
Okay. So I really like the image that you spoke of earlier of becoming whole. Okay, and I wonder if there's a link between that and being holy. Tell us about that just now. But if one is fragmented, and like the way you put that, so it means the image that comes to mind is a vase, a potter's vase that is broken into a million pieces. Okay, which kind of to me is a very pictorial depiction of what the world has become. So, is it a responsibility, as a part of your responsibility to yourself, to put yourself back together again?
I would say, definitely.
That sounds like an exceptionally painstaking process.
Well, you see, there you are, you're a person, and you're alive, and you have a lifespan from the present time until as long as you live. What is the purpose of your life? What are you going to do with your life? People are motivated by the feeling of achievement. And so you have to decide what is worth doing. And you have to think about all the possible things that are worth doing. But making yourself into the very best self that you can be is immeasurably worth doing. Because
Hold on. Oh, that is so beautiful. Say that again. Making yourself
the best you that you can be, that is really worthwhile.
Is that a definition of integrity?
Well, I think that is what will be the driving force of a person who ends up as a person of integrity, a person of wisdom, a person who is whole, a person who has a legacy to leave at the end of their life, you know.
In order to start, you must believe deep within your heart that you're worth it, shouldn't you? You've got to start somewhere. What is the motivation? Especially if there's so little to see of it on the outside, so little honesty, so little of anything of substance. What is the
There are some people who are externally directed.
Yes.
And there are some people who are internally directed. If a person is internally directed, it means they are very in contact with their inner life. They have a very powerful inner dialogue going on, their inner world is important to them, they think, they imagine, they create, you know, all of this. And so the sense of self is going on from within. But a lot of people are discouraged from that. And so they are the ones who are pulled into the external world through a lot of the time sensory overload. And this is one of the problems with video games, television, loud music, on and on and on. All of these things pull people away from themselves. And this is why the consumer world has so much power, because the individual has been so disconnected from their actual self that they can be manipulated from the businesses, basically.
Okay. Mr. Denise, so now I'm looking at the scenario where somebody has an extremely troubled mind, which is extremely common all across the globe, and has intense personal struggles and financial problems and problems in relationships and basically a problematic existence. But somewhere deep within him, he still wants to be a good person, still wants to abide by his conscience, but he finds his own personality a nightmare to manage. He finds life difficult. And how does one, in a world where it seems like everything is against you, your own self is against you, the world outside is against you, how do you fix what's broken when it's continue breaking?
When you're in a situation like that, you go to the core of yourself and see what you've got. And this is a very crucial thing, because if in the core of yourself you feel your pure self, then you've got something. But if you don't feel anything, you will conclude that there's nothing there. Also, when you go to the core of yourself and you go very, very deep, that can take you to an awareness that there is such a thing as God. If you go very deep inside and you find nothing, then that gives you a reason to abandon yourself. And when people abandon themselves, they give themselves over to the vices, the force of evil. They become an agent for negativity, and that is a really tragic thing.
Agent for negativity. Okay, I'll come back to that just now. You spoke about going to the core of the self and finding something there. That's an exceptionally beautiful sentiment. When you looking inside at that level, and I assume that's the basics, the basis of you, do you make a list of your good points? Do you think, I'm a nice person, I make good chocolate cake? What are you looking at?
Nothing to do with that. When you go deep, 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 it's a pre-verbal feeling. And
pre-verbal feeling, meaning the feeling was there just after you were born, prior to you even having the ability to articulate?
Before that.
Previous lifetime?
Before that.
Okay. You lost me.
You're going really deep. You're going. Okay. You're really going to your soul.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and you're touching the actual essence of your being. And when you do that, you strike something which is the you before any negative things ever happened. You see, and this is what will give you power. This is what will validate your life, you see. But if you go down there and for whatever reason you find what the existentialist writers in France spoke of as le néant, you know, the nothing, find there's nothing there, how do you handle that nothingness? In Buddhism, they speak of the abyss. And in Buddhist practice, when you're going deep, 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 you need to go to the abyss. You need to go into the abyss. And it is considered in Buddhist practice that if you can handle the abyss, that means you are fundamentally psychologically strong, you see. And this is really the key to success in spiritual practice. A person who's psychologically strong can actually be an agent for someone who may be less strong to be able to feel that, though they may not feel it in themselves, they may feel it from someone else, and that is enough to bring them into the positivity, the purity. So that is the usefulness of someone who's psychologically strong. They can do that for someone.
Okay. So, Denise, that is very beautiful, and I can feel the silence as you say that. You bring that how into your day-to-day life to keep yourself a whole person?
Well, it's a reference point. It's a lodestone. It's a pole star. It's always there. You know, in Brahma Kumaris, we use this expression Om Shanti, which is a very simple word, but it has extremely deep impact and import, because it says my identity fundamentally is I'm a pure, peaceful, powerful, silent, still soul, and I am forever. And I belong to the Supreme Being, who is also forever and who is invincible. And that is that, you know. So it's so final that there is nothing that can take it away.
Mm. The other day you spoke about being real as a virtue. Mm. That seems to be quite connected to today's subject. Does one on a minute-to-minute basis make the decision, am I being true to myself? Is that how I go about?
I think it's part of spiritual practice that it becomes second nature to check in with the self all the time. And when you are away from that, then you do something to return to that.
Mm.
Because whatever your actions are, they need to be in line with that. And if your actions are not in line with that, it'll pull you up, you know. Like if you're riding a horse, and the mind is often compared with a horse, you know, and the horse, he wants to go and eat some grass here or go off down this track, and you say, no, we're going this way. So you have to hold the reins of your horse and guide him. That's your mind. And the part of you that guides is the intellect, which is the faculty of the soul to distinguish between what is true, what is false, what is right, what is wrong. There's your conscience.
Okay. And so you bring your actions in alignment with what you just said?
Yes.
And words as well?
Yes.
Okay. So from what I understand, integrity is somebody who's in complete alignment.
Yes.
Okay. Tell me where feelings come into play here. Because as human beings, we're wrecked with feelings, and many people watching the show are bombarded by a myriad of negative feelings. Current negative feelings, past negative feelings, anxiety about your children, trauma from a failed marriage, worried about your finances. How then are you able to bring such a stable way of being when your boat's rocking?
Your feelings have to be categorized all the way from very positive to very negative. And you have to have a line, a boundary in between. And you have to make sure, because your feelings are triggered by thoughts, you have to be very responsible for what you're thinking. And so it is said that if there is a negative experience in your life, if you dwell on that, then you amplify those feelings of negativity, which drain your spiritual energy, and they don't really do anything else. And so you have to develop a personal discipline of an attitude of detachment and dispassion and the ability to let go so that you don't dwell on it, and rather you choose to dwell on something which is more current, more meaningful, and to do with where you're going now, because where you've been, you can't change it. So leave it. It's a principle of spirituality. Let it go.
Let it go. Yeah, I think a lot of people struggle with letting things go. We're not sure whether our past holds on to us, so we hold on to the past. And a lot of people have things like regrets and, you know, not things that you did do, but things that you should have done. So how does one let go?
You have to sit with yourself and tell yourself, look, there's nothing you can do about it. It has happened. It's in the past. You have no, there's nothing you can do in the present about something that's gone in the past. What we need to be is in the present. Be present for the present, because that's the only time we can do anything about anything is right now. And this present second will go into the past in 1 second, and then I can't do anything with it. So the spiritual practice is be second by second in the present and let it go second by second.
As you speak, the expression saving face comes to mind, which is a big thing with many, many, many people. And in my mind, that has also led to the current condition of the world is lacking in integrity. How is the one impacted on the other?
Well, what kind of a face are you trying to save? You see, if you're saving your mask and it's shattering, it's not going to work. And then you lose face. But if behind your mask, your real face is not okay, then you don't want it to be seen. But if your real self, your inner being, and your outer mask is in line with each other, then it doesn't matter how many masks are taken off, you're still the same being, you see. But when your mask is the opposite of what you are inside, that's where there's a problem. That's where you try to save face, but you can't. And then the reality of you as not okay, not a person of integrity, that's what shows. You see, you have this mask of integrity, but the reality is not. If you are really a person of integrity, then the mask will correspond with that. So however many masks anybody wants to take off, it doesn't make any difference.
I see. So Denise, you just spoke about going into the core. Why is it a fear with so many people that there's nothing there? There's no substance.
Perhaps because they never did anything to cultivate their inner being. And it's been neglected. It's a wasteland. It's a desert, you know. And they don't want to have to deal with the fact that it's like that because they never bothered.
Okay. But it's not possible for nothing to be there.
Well, there's something, but it's a desert.
Okay.
You see, in the world, one of the issues of climate change is the desertification of so many pieces of land because of wrong way of managing the land. Clear-cutting the forests, dumping poisons in the oceans. All of this has created vast areas of nothing. And so people have done the same to their own souls.
Okay, that's quite a powerful analogy. Sister Denise, I think of the impact of integrity. The virtues that normally come to mind to me are honesty and forthrightness and being clear, you know, being the same inside and outside. But in every talk that we've done, you've brought a spiritual element into your words and even shared an experience or two with us. Tell me, is there a difference between spiritual integrity and normal integrity? And What, in your experience, are the brothers and sisters of integrity, the synonyms, and that supports integrity itself?
Well, I believe that integrity is integrity is integrity, so that spiritual, non-spiritual, whatever, it's all the same thing. I think a person who's approaching integrity from the perspective of their morality and their ethics, who subscribes to the materialist paradigm, if they're acting with integrity, it's because even though they're not say openly spiritual, or they don't think of themselves as spiritual, but they are spiritual, but it's just a kind of natural sense that they bring it into their material life, and that would be a person of uprightness and integrity, and they wouldn't really kind of separate it from spiritual, physical, like this. And then on the other hand, if you have a person who's preoccupied with developing themselves spiritually and they start thinking about integrity, they're going to end up pretty much in the same place of integrity as the person who's coming at it from another angle. So in that case, I think ultimately it ends up as pretty much the same, though you may go there from a different angle.
Sister Denise, unfortunately, we must say goodbye to you right now, because we have come once again to the end of today's show. Integrity, very, very beautiful virtue, very rare to find it in today's world. If this subject was of any interest to you, it simply means that you resonated with what Sister Denise has shared. It means that you have integrity within yourself, even if it's 1%, it doesn't matter. And if you do have it, or if you were interested in today's topic, it means that you can cultivate yourself to become a better person. The aspect that I really like is where Sister Denise shared about going to your core, your inner core, to find out if you have any value. And that is really, really beautiful. I believe that every human being should make that journey, and I wish you good luck in your spiritual efforts, and I hope that your journey means that you become a person of greater integrity. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you, Sister Denise, for your time and your energy. And goodbye.